Hey team, how are you? Luke Simons here. Got another podcast for you. I've got a really special guest that I've been meaning to get on board for a while now. We finally hooked it up. He came around. We shot the podcast, and I really hope you enjoy it. So we've got Alex from Iron Octopus Strength and Conditioning. So a little bit of a rundown on him. So Alex is a former infantry soldier with experience in maintaining his own physical and mental readiness for operations, which saw him to lead the physical and mental preparation for any unit he was posted to. Since leaving the full-time army, he's expanded his knowledge around strength and conditioning and just coaching, and has built up his own strength and conditioning coaching as well, his own business, and he's training. You know, he's a brown belt in grappling as well, with jiu-jitsu, and he's doing a little bit more on the striking side because he's got a fight coming up in MMA. So yeah, he's just an all-round good cunt, and fucking he's just a killer with a kettlebell as well, man. Like, he's super strong. But yeah, he also's got plans to build his own strength conditioning and grappling gym as well. So yeah, we pretty much shoot the shit for about 40-45 minutes. I ask him a lot of questions around strength conditioning, but also the army, but also and also MMA and kettlebells as well, and why kettlebells are so universal or just so useful for any person who's looking at getting better, stronger, fitter, and everything. An all-round top bloke. So I hope you enjoy the podcast.
How I got started in strength and conditioning is I have just always been a physical guy. My mum was a fitness instructor when I was growing up, back in the days when fat was bad and sugar was good. And so she, like, the lifestyle habits have always been there, although back then they were bad. She wouldn't put butter in my sandwiches because fat was bad, you know, at school. So that was, I was in gymnastics as a kid, so I've always been a physical guy. And then simultaneously, I always wanted to join the army and be a soldier. So as soon as I could, I did. Although I got knocked back the first time, and I was 18, I said no, I was too young. Or also a bit of a dickhead when I interviewed. Like, I was just young, arrogant, thought I was a mad cunt. So they knocked me back. So then I was just getting around the mines and things, still in physical jobs. But then once I did get in, it became very apparent that the main way to earn your peers' respect was via fitness and strength. And so I'm at a point to be the fittest bloke in my company, my section, my unit. And in so doing, people would just come to me and ask for advice. And my advice, I would just be like, okay, well, I'll help you out, I suppose. And I didn't want to give shit advice, so I'd learn more, read more. And as a result, I was running PT for my section, my company, my unit all the time. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed teaching them and making my section the best, you know, fitness-wise. And when I finally decided to get out, that's when I was like, oh, well, I am good at teaching people how to be strong. I'll just run with that. So here I am, I'm starting my own thing. What was the rest of the question?
When did you join? What age were you? And when did you leave the army?
So I was 19 when I had my 20th birthday at Kapuka. So during like day three of Kapuka, I turned 20. Didn't tell him, obviously.
You fire up on the day or what?
Just keep that on the down low. But I applied as soon as I was 18. So 25th of May was my birthday. When I turned 18, I applied. And it took me 2 years to actually get in. And I got out in 2019. So I did about 7 years full-time army.
Nice, man. Nice. Were you were you stationed over east?
Yep, so I posted to 6th Battalion, yeah. Which is in Brisbane. Yeah. And I was there the whole time, which is lucky. Brisbane's cool. We were supposed to go to Townsville for a bit, or when we were at Singleton, there was potential for Townsville, like you don't know where you're going to go. And I actually ended up getting back squatted towards the very end of my infantry training because I broke my thumb on the piss. and they back squatted me. I had to redo some stuff while my thumb healed. And luckily, I still maintained my posting for my first course. I went to Brisbane, but the rest of those guys that I finished the course with went to Townsville. But yeah, went to Brisbane, which is like Brisbane Vegas, they call it in the army, because it's like Perth is like a nightlife and it's a big city. Not like I have been to Townsville where it's a bit more, they call it like AJs, because everyone can tell that you're an AJ because it's an army town, you know?
What's AJ?
Army jerk.
Oh, gotcha. Did you enjoy your time in the army, man, in service?
Most of it, yeah. Like, I do miss it sometimes. When it's good, it's fucking excellent. But when it's bad, it's like horribly, horribly bad. And so the middle ground is very hard to find sometimes. That's my experience. And I ended up having a gutful. The morale was low in general in the unit as well. Mrs. and kids was living back over in Perth. I was like, yeah, I'm out. I'm going to go back over there and see what I can do.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man. Yeah. And it was just a natural progression into strength and conditioning or, you know, PT work in a sense, because you just enjoyed it so much. Was it, is that like kind of the first thing that came to mind when you left was like, yeah, I got to do this?
Well, yeah, when I remember being even like 18, 19, joining the army, my long-term goal was always to open a gym as well, just because I liked gymnastics. I liked doing all that stuff as a youngster. I was like, I wouldn't mind opening a gym and making money that way one day. But first, I want to be a soldier because I want to kill cunts. So yeah, always in the back of my mind was a plan to open the gym. But yeah, the natural progression once I got out of the army was, okay, I'm going to try and make a living teaching people how to be strong in the same way I was doing it unofficially in the army.
Yeah, and I noticed obviously following you and your social media that you picked up martial arts or some grappling as well in the army as well, and then you kind of got a passion for it as well. Like, walk us through that, man. Did you start martial arts in the army and then continue out on the way?
Yeah, so I wanted to do it as a youngster, but mum couldn't afford it. I had to quit gymnastics because mum couldn't afford it. She was a single mum of four. So I got my violence sort of fix at the skate park and at pubs and stuff, like, which is stupid. And kind of why I was rejected the first time I went for the army, because I was too candid about that sort of thing in the interviews. But fuck, where was I?
And then was it super easy to transition to more martial arts?
So yeah, I didn't know anything about martial arts when I joined the army, and I thought they would teach me, right? I thought, right, they're going to teach me how to use guns and how to fight hand to hand, and it's going to be awesome. But they didn't. And that's where I was. That's where the disenfranchisement. The disappointment started because they didn't teach me any martial arts, and it wasn't until later on when Paul Cale comes into the equation and other key stakeholders that were deciding that it is important. So I came off SAS selection in a pretty low, like, I failed, and I was like, oh, I'm a shit cunt, like, I need to switch targets. And at that time they were building the combative center in 7th Brigade. So I went down there and did my first BJJ class and fell in love straight away. So, and I just, yeah, switched targets, like, Special Forces was it. I was like, oh, nah, this is cool too, and I can be awesome at this. And I just, like, down the rabbit hole martial arts wise.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Because you're training at Laristos now, like, the academy there, and you got a fight coming up as well, man. What, 2 weeks away now? Mm. Like, how are you feeling with everything?
I'm feeling good. I'm definitely fit. And I think I'm stronger than my opponent. Like, not many people my size can do what I can do with a kettlebell. So in that sense, I'm feeling good. Technique-wise, I know that on the feet, I'm a bit of a spud. So the plan is just to try and get head to chest and take him down and do my thing on the ground. I'm not a stranger to performing under the lights. Like, the 6RER did the first combative tournament in 2017 or 2017, and we had a big event at the unit. Everyone's in uniform, on the piss, drunk as fuck. We had a cage in the middle, and then we fought, and I fought, and I was the champion. And so performing in front of a crowd is, like, that's what I got hooked straight away then as well. So I've been seeking that sort of thing ever since.
Yeah, that's fucking sick, man. So I want to kind of dive into, because I've been following you for a little bit on social media, and I kind of love the attitude that you bring to training, but also just the mindset as well. So walk us through, like, what are your beliefs around the training? And, you know, we've mentioned strong, like, getting strong, and we've had a conversation that hasn't been recorded, but you're always interested in being strong. And you said, you know, you are probably one of the most strongest guys in your league for your weight division with kettlebell. So walk us through, like, what's priority to you in terms of training, physical preparedness, and, like, strength and conditioning, man?
The thing with the kettlebell is it's a tool for general physical preparedness. You can't get too specific with it. And so what I do with my students and myself is just generally prepare for everything. I like to, for general population, it's more based around your basic primal movement patterns. So you've got squat, lunge, pull, push, both vertically, horizontally, and everything in between. Twist, And I like to add in some actual ones like gait. Gait doesn't just mean walking or running, it can be crawling as well, or just being around on the ground, and carry. And creating a program around those movements rather than around body parts, I find is, in my opinion, is just better. It takes away some of the potential vanity in like all back and buys day and leg day, trying to grow or whatever. But I'm not a bodybuilder. I'm not trying to take away from the art form that is bodybuilding. So for the general population, that's how I try and work it. For athletes, I'm working with Quillen Salkild in his strength and conditioning portion of training. And he's already like an athlete, right? So all I do there is prevent injury and make him just more bulletproof. So that's, again, why the kettlebells and awkward lifts are so good. I've got him bent pressing and doing weird shit. And he's really enjoying it. And gymnastics as well for isometric contractions. So for athletes, that like combat athletes, isometric contraction is hugely important, just holding some motherfucker down.
Yeah.
Gymnastics is best for that, in my opinion. And kettlebells is best for that because they're so awkward. And you can apply different protocols to like the ballistics, being swings, snatches, for power endurance. You still want to be able to have knockout power in the fifth round. And if you can swing a kettlebell, a 32 kilo kettlebell 200 times, and the 200th time is as powerful as the first time, it translates, right? But in a general way, not a specific punchy way, but in a general way, you've maintained the power energy system wise for that long.
Yeah, you don't see many people doing this sort of stuff at the normal gym, eh? It's because I've been, obviously, when I first started, it was gym, fucking, let's buys, tries, shoulders, chest, back, you know, the usual fucking split, right? And when I started, I was around about 16 years old, probably like 2011, 2012. There was decent information, but when I look back, the information was still developing, right? And when I learned, it was like, that was the way to do it. And I guess when I started, I wanted to look a certain way, but then when you get to, you develop your career, your journey, I should say, not fucking career, that's embarrassing, but when you go on your journey and you're like, oh wait, cool, I look like I can do a I look like I can do something, but realistically I can't do a fucking shit. And that's when I started twisting towards more and learning more about kettlebell strength conditioning and be like, okay, cool. Especially when I started martial arts, you know, how many bodybuilders you see go in the gym and get their ass beat, and they're like, they never come back because they now realize how fucking exposed they are. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You don't need to be big to be strong. And power to weight ratio, I think, will always trump a massive squat if you already are massive. That's, again, my opinion. Not taking away from powerlifters or anything. There are 70 kilo powerlifters out there that can wipe the floor with me, but I'll choke them out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it's fucking weird, man. Like, there's this guy, Josh Della. Like, we've grappled before, we've trained together, and man, like, I always tell him, I'm like, dude, like, he's like in the 80s, he's 80 something kilos. And I'm like, dude, like, his strength is something different. Like, I'm like, you're so fucking dense. I've trained, grappled with 100, 110 kilo dudes, but and they're bodybuilders, but the strength isn't as dense as, say, Josh, for example.
Yeah.
It's a weird fucking strength, man.
I think the difference there is the directionality that I can apply force, where, like, a grappler is used to applying force in these weird, direct, like, indirect ways and being mobile with their strength. Whereas the bodybuilder you're describing has trained and practiced the joints going through their specific range of motion in order to grow a muscle. And therefore they can only produce, because they practiced it that way, they can produce force that way only effectively. Everywhere else is crap.
Yeah, and that's kind of why, like, is that why you love training with kettlebells for your kind of training? Because I'd love to know a little bit more about your training right now, man. Obviously, we're a couple of weeks away for your like an MMA fight. What is your training look like now, man?
So I'm just trying to peak. So I'm constantly in a phase of maintenance, more or less. I don't try and my programming doesn't chase PBs, so to speak. I practice, right? Rather, in the same way that you're taught all the time in martial arts that it's not about getting to black belt, right? It's the journey. The exact same way with strength training. It's not about your next PB, it's you turning up and you're practicing your practice of strength, and then the side effect is that you eventually get stronger. And we've all heard that before, consistency, right? So all I do is just practice all my general lifts, practice the snatch because it's power endurance, practice the swing. And then when that comes to about 3 to 4 weeks post before my fight, I've decided to peak a bit. So then because I've been in all that practicing is maintenance, right? Mm. And then I'll just chuck in a bit of peaking. So now I'm glycolytic peaking with the air bike, energy system trying to get it up there. I've got the Spider, which is a Louis Estrada Combat Academy special. It's just think MMA CrossFit. It's just a fucking hectic circuit where we just do shit nonstop for 5 rounds.
Yeah,
Or we build the rounds up, but super high intensity pads and then crawling around and then ground and pound and then jump over, like burpee, jump over things and then pads again. And then, so we built up the intensity with that and a strength peak in general where I'm focusing on isometric strength and the get up, just because the get up is such a general awesome thing. The isometrics is my gymnastics. I did a post the other day where I'm doing muscle ups on the ring, on the rings. So yeah, you understand how peaking works. And so yeah, my reps and sets are just to do with those specific things so I can get stronger for the fight.
Yeah.
Otherwise I'm relying on technique.
Yeah, do you do much like conditioning work outside of your training in the gym in terms of like MMA training?
So if I'm not, again, this is my first fight, so I'm learning as I go.
Yeah.
If I'm not, up until this point, but I haven't done MMA fights, my conditioning has been jiu-jitsu or grappling. That's my cardio, and I'm okay with that. And the rest is strength with the kettlebell, and sometimes I'll go hard with the kettlebell with heaps of swings, heaps of snatches or something. Mm. But in a timed sort of protocol. But other than that, yeah, I'm happy just to keep my cardio and the practice of grappling as my cardio.
Yeah.
And this is because I'm a minimalist, right? Minimum effective dose of everything. And so doing this, I'm still confident that I could just warm up now and go for a 1.6 kilometer run and do it in sub 6 minutes when I haven't run in a year.
Yeah.
All I do is kettlebells and grapple. Because in the same way that you can eliminate like sugar and processed foods from your diet and feel good, it's called an elimination diet. You can do the same thing with exercise. You can eliminate and then just do one or two things and you'll still get better.
Like the 80-20 rule kind of thing. Like
exactly. I put it in my notes. I haven't looked at them yet, but when I was preparing for this, like 80-20 rule, exactly. You can eliminate 90% of the shit you do in the gym and still improve all of it by just doing 20% really, really well. And that's what I try and do for my students and myself.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, man. And because I was from the other spectrum as well. Like I was putting in fucking 12, 14 sessions a week, and that's including like MMA or grappling as well as strength and conditioning. And I just got fucking so cooked. And business didn't have the energy, couldn't show up to business, needed to sleep, fucking everything else apart from my athlete. I'm not a fucking professional athlete either, so I'm like, why the fuck am I training this hard when everything else in life is going down? So yeah. It's like, there's no point. I'm not making money training, so I'm like, okay, cool. How can I still maximize my outputs in terms of training wise and my goals, but without all the fucking time and energy spent on it? You know what I mean? So I'm definitely on that same page now, and I'm using grappling as my cardio, and now I'm going to be transitioning to more of a strength kind of protocol with kettlebells. And I'm going to be running an experiment as well to see how my lifts and I perform over the next 6 weeks. But how do you train every single day with, say, your strength wise? And like, because you mentioned you practice, right? Mm. So you're not going to 90, 100% every single session.
No.
So how often are you training?
So it's between 60 and 80% every practice. Yeah. If I'm feeling really good, I might go for a 1 hour MSCF where I'm at, or a rep test. That's the thing with kettlebells, because they're 4 kilo jumps. You won't be able to press the one that's too heavy, but you'll be able to press the one that's below maybe more than once. So a rep test at the one you can't press anyway. 2 to 3 times a week is a strength practice for me at the moment, because of everything else, like the intensity of MMA training and that. And even outside of that, I will sometimes just practice a few things and pieces while I've got a student there doing the same thing. And as I'm demonstrating something, I'll just use that as an opportunity to practice as well. Because it's not, as you know, it's not the practice of strength, like the reps that make you stronger, it's the recovery from it. So even if you do like fuck all, if you recover effectively from it, that fuck all can be effective because it's recovery that's more important than the training itself.
Yeah, 100%.
So that was what I've had to, like, I'm still learning with Quillen because he's such a fucking freak. what he can recover from. He's still so young, full of testosterone. And I'm constantly surprised at what he's able to recover from. Or maybe he just tells me, yeah, I'm feeling good. And then just does it anyway. But yeah, I'm still figuring out how hard I can push him strength-wise. Because he still trains full time in MMA.
Yeah, was he at a terminal on the weekend?
Yeah. Flogged the guy.
Yeah, I was watching that actually.
First round TKO. Love to see it.
Fucking crazy. Yeah. That was a pretty good fucking card actually. I enjoyed it thoroughly. It was a big weekend for MMA. That's for fucking sure.
Yeah.
As you can, my voice is still fucked from UFC because I was screaming.
Did you go?
Yeah,
I went. Fuck yeah, be wicked.
We got tickets. I'm super lucky. But anyway, what do you feel like is when you see like, say, Gen Pop guys, right, coming through the doors for you or showing interest, like, what do you feel like are the most, or not even people coming to you, but if you see in the gym or just in Gen Pop, dudes, like, what do you feel like are the biggest issues that you see, like, with their training, their fucking mindset with training, or do you feel like they just have no clue on, like, what to do and how to actually train effectively?
This is a hard one for me, because I am lucky, or maybe not lucky, I've done it deliberately, but my general, the men that I hang around with and spend most time with are not the kinds of people that you've just described, right? Mm. The general population, they're all people that do train or want to learn more. And so I haven't had a heap of brand newbies come to me. And so I haven't got a humongous, you know, like experience there with Gen Pop, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like my online students are currently serving army, and they're already fit and strong. I just teach them extra stuff. But when I do have a brand newbie come in, or someone that says that they've trained before, I'm like, okay, cool, come in. The first thing they always see is breathing mechanics are wrong, or you're inefficient. I don't let anyone touch a kettlebell until I've fixed their breathing, because there is nothing more important than that at all. So generally there's just asymmetrical breathing in that they breathe with their chest, right? Sometimes the diaphragm is just not even in the equation, and you've got to teach them that, teach them crocodile breathing, how to brace correctly. And when I'm confident that I can actually brace, then we'll touch a kettlebell. And that's the same. And when they come to the gym, I want it to be, although exercise is stressful, you need to sort of eliminate the stress of the day so that the stress that you're about to apply yourself or apply to yourself in the gym is going to be effective. Otherwise, you're just lumping stress on stress and you're not going to recover from anything. So the first thing is always breathing. We will down-regulate, figure out and prepare and learn how to breathe, and then we'll touch a kettlebell.
Where'd you learn your breathing techniques?
My kettlebell coach and mentor in general is Tim Armand. He's a former senior Strong First instructor and just yoga extraordinaire. He'd be excellent to have a chat to. Not humongously known, but he's one of my very close friends.
I've done a few breathing things, but it's one thing that I definitely want to touch on more as well. I have come from that background of just like bodybuilding breathing, in a sense of just like understanding that sort of stuff. But that's one thing that I do skip on in terms of when I'm coaching someone. I just think it's an automatic kind of self-obvious thing, how to regulate your breath, depending on where you are in your lift. It's not until I actually see someone doing it wrong, I'm like, oh, okay.
Fine. Yeah, it's not like that's why I think it too. Sometimes I just assume everyone should know this stuff, but yeah, I can't. It would be unethical, I think, for me to let someone lift something and not breathe correctly. Because then, like I said, if you're not actually getting enough out of the stress of the workout, because you're already stressed about everything else, of your day, of your life, or whatever, then they're just paying for your session for nothing. Like, you're just gonna burn them out. Like the breath is.
So do you do some sort of screening prep in terms of before you lift, like, or is it as basic as like, hey man, how's your day been?
No, I don't go that deep. I'm not a therapist, right? I'll just like very first thing I do is just ask them to chest, hand, belly, and do a few big breaths for me, or deep breaths. And they'll almost everyone confuses a deep breath with a big breath. And so when I say take a deep breath, they go, like that, okay? And then I go, okay, which hand did you feel move the most? And when you put the hand, when I tell them, everyone will think, like, oh, he's gonna test my breathing here. Maybe I'll make sure my belly moves first, or whatever. But even with that, they don't do it. And they're taking a deep breath, but it's big. And then I'll go, there's a difference between a big and a deep breath, right? A deep breath is just all the way down into your belly. It doesn't necessarily need to be big. Only the first 2/3 of what you could take in is all you need to take in order for your belly to move only, and your chest doesn't need to move. And I give them a little bit of a speech there.
Yeah.
And then they'll keep practicing, and then it might improve. And then I get them on the floor doing crocodile breathing, which is another drill I can show you after. And then slowly add in new sensors, because they're learning how to use a new muscle. Because like I said, 90% of the population is not connected to their diaphragm. Mm. And when they're learning mind-muscle connection to the diaphragm, it can take a while. So lying on the ground, eyes shut, it's easier. And then opening your eyes, standing up, harder. So the levels in between are like kneeling, eyes open, eyes shut, then sitting. And we learn how to integrate the diaphragm consciously, and then apply, not a weight lifting belt, I just put a little strap around their belly for them to use as feedback if they can do it effectively. And then we'll start kettlebelling.
Yeah, when I was getting programmed by Nick from the Mill Gym in Frio, he got me doing a lot more breathing than I was used to. His programs had a lot of breathing involved with it, and that's when I first, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but that was when I first kind of realized how important breathing was, which was only a couple of years ago, probably two and a half years ago.
Guess where Nick learned it?
Where?
Tim Almond.
Oh, no shit. See, and it was like, he would do, I'm losing the prep before a session, but every morning you would do some sort of breathing technique or readiness, you know, score, you know, HRV or whatever. Yeah. Like that. Like, and it wasn't until I started learning that stuff or seeing how in depth his programming was, I was like, holy shit, like this is another thing that I'm not used to. I'm used to the general population fitness, as you would know it, as fucking, you know, oh yeah, cool, just log your score in here and then we'll deal with it later. There was no real readiness score, and even nasal breathing as well for prepping the body, warming up to an mm-hmm. exercise. That's when I started realizing, oh wow, like, this is another level that I never even thought about. So yeah, no, that's super interesting here, and I think I need to start incorporating that into a lot more of my clients, but also my training as well.
Do you take your mouth shut when you sleep?
Sorry?
Do you take your mouth shut when you sleep?
No, I don't.
Why not?
I don't know. Because I can't really breathe through my fucking nose.
Have you ever broken it before?
No.
Do you have a deviated septum?
I think, I'm not too sure, but I do. I've always had troubles with my sinuses, yeah.
Well, that's common. It's probably because you just haven't used your nose to breathe yet. Mm. And so when you do start using it, your body specifically adapts to impose demands, right? Mm. So if you just deliberately make sure your mouth isn't used for breathing, it'll go, fuck, gotta clear the sinuses out, because yeah, the cunt's breathing through his nose now.
Maybe I'll fucking pass out and die. And
you'll be right, mate. Yeah. Tap a shot, go for a sleep. It takes a while to get used to, but
I'll make sure my insurances are in order before. No, but how do you take your mouth up? You literally just like, how do you tape it up?
Rape tape.
Really?
Nah, just a little bit of Fixamol. That's what I use, little square of Fixamol. It's not like a physical thing to keep it shut. It's just a reminder for your body, yeah, just to, while you sleep, to keep it shut.
Interesting.
Have you ever woken up with a dry mouth?
Yeah,
so you're mouth breathing while you sleep.
Yeah.
Not ideal whatsoever. It affects how much deep sleep you can get. It doesn't allow you to reach the proper parasympathetic nervous state, which is required for all of your, you know, rest, digest, crap. Number one thing for performance enhancement that I did about 3 years ago was start taping my mouth shut. The very first day after I slept with my mouth shut, I woke up feeling good. I was like, oh, got in the air, but I could hit a PB max watts.
No,
like that very first day. So yeah, just one little hack that's gonna change your life.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right, I'll look into it. That reminds me as well, I gotta contact my people from sleep study as well. Fucking, I got, because I think I fucking, whatever you want to call it. That's super interesting. I tried to sleep with all that fucking gear on the other day, and it was the fucking worst sleep I ever had. Didn't even fucking sleep, and I was like so pissed off. And I was like,
The sleep started with a show that you slept crap, and then
why not? Oh, exactly. I didn't even sleep, bro. It was an hour, and I'm like, what the fuck's the point of this? There's no fucking data anyway, bro. That's sick, man. So in terms of like kettlebell training, like why do you think like kettlebell training is the most effective for say fighters, for example, or like gen pop as well?
For one, it's just an iron cannonball with a handle, so it's manly as fuck. And
looks fucking good.
For two, for argument's sake, let's compare the kettlebell to the dumbbell in an exercise like the bicep curl, okay? With the bicep curl on the dumbbell, the weight is on either side of the fist, and so when the forearm is vertical, the weight is sitting on the structure of the forearm, right? But the bicep isn't resisting that. The bicep has resisted up until about that point, and then now the weight comes up here, and the weight is actually on the forearm. So the bicep resistance, the pressure on the bicep from a tension point of view is now almost turned off, right? Contrast that with a kettlebell where you hold the handle and it's out here and it's trying to pull it back. The bicep is still under tension because the bell is trying to pull the arm backwards. So in that sense, the way that the kettlebell is loads your body everywhere, in my opinion, is superior. It requires more stabilization, activates more tension just by its shape. The weight jumps in kettlebells traditionally are 4 kilograms, right? So let's say you can press a 24, but you can't press a 28. For you to get a PB, you've got to really own the 24. You've got to press it a fucking bazillion times, specific programming for it, blah, blah, blah. And then one day you press 28, that's a 4 kilo BB. So that makes PBs way farther apart than just like 1.25 kilo plates on a barbell, which means the strength that you gain isn't just measured in PBs. It's like rep tests as well. So again, with the press as the example, if I can press the 24 three times, I do a program, I still can't press a 28, but I can press a 24 five times, I'm stronger, right? So, and that's way more permanent strength than if you've just gone up 1.25 kilos on the bench press or the shoulder press with a barbell, and then you stop for a week, that 1.25 kilos goes away, right? That's common, everyone's probably done that before in the gen pop bodybuilding. Whereas the way that we train with kettlebells, I can just go a month without training, like go out field with the army, come back, and I can still press a 24 three times. Mm. You know what I mean? Because it's just the way they have to repeat and stay of the same thing and just like grind out the same boring shit. If you stick with that one modality, then it's just gonna stick. The strength gains are stick. You know what I mean?
Makes sense. And I was doing, before I started doing a lot more kettlebell work, it was just the basic kind of, you know, push, pull, like up, down, you know, forward, back movements. And I was having a lot more issues with my lower back, a lot more niggles coming through. And then we stripped it back, learned a lot more. This was before I studied a lot more on strength conditioning and then got a lot of really good coaches. And a lot of the stuff to fix myself was with kettlebells and just going back to basics and just moving correctly in the right forms of like planes of motion. And it really fucking helped my lower back. And now, like, my lower back hasn't really seen any big issues for a long time. But to be fair as well, I was always had that mentality of fucking 1 RM every fucking session. Like, mm-hmm. It was like, how fucking much can I lift and let's fucking go for it. Like, yeah. I had that had that dog mentality of just like, let's do the fucking heaviest shit, right? It wasn't until I was broken for fucking years, I was like, maybe something's wrong with this fucking, this mindset.
Yeah, and that's like when you're young, you've got that. That's what else you got? You got no one else to tell you to do. Otherwise, you're just going off pure testosterone. You know, so that's all right. But as you get older and you learn, it is about consistency, just turning up and practicing. That's fine.
No, man. So in terms of like your training with like grappling MMA, because you recently got your brown belt.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How did it feel to get that?
It was pretty good. That day was actually my family Christmas day, because
Christmas came early for you, eh?
Yeah, well, we're all like in my family, we're all FIFO or shift workers, and so Christmas day itself is generally out of the question, so we just do it a few days early. It was the 10th of December, and so I knew there'd be an open mat and a grading, and Romel was like, you make sure you come down open mat. I'm like, oh, it's family Christmas, but yeah, I'll come down for a quick roll. But I was on the piss with my family, and I turned up and then had a few drunken rolls. And then, yeah, he gave me the brown belt. I was like, oh, this is wicked. But I didn't have a speech or anything because I was drunk and didn't want to look like an idiot. So, yeah, it was wicked. I knew he was kind of, like, he was hinting at it, and I knew he was going to do it, but still didn't feel ready. Like, I don't think you ever feel ready. I don't think, like, I remember when I was a white belt rolling with brown belts, I'm like, fuck, this guy's a wizard. Mm. And now I'm apparently one of those wizards, but I don't feel like I'm that wizard. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
There's always more to go.
Do you feel like a lot more people should get invested or learn a little bit more of martial arts or jiu-jitsu, for example? Like, do you feel like a lot more people should experiment and learn those types of skills?
Absolutely. It is no one else's job to keep you safe. You cannot outsource your own safety. Like, the police are there, sure, but best case scenario, they turn up in 15 minutes in an event. So, yeah, it is your responsibility to be safe. And it's your fault if you get mugged and beat up, you know? So, and you couldn't handle yourself anyway. Mm. I've got no sympathy for the guys that can't handle themselves. So yeah, the answer there is, there's only good things can be gained from learning. One quote that I really do enjoy is, in order to be peaceful, you must be capable of violence, okay? If you aren't capable of violence, you're not peaceful, you're just harmless.
Yeah.
And harmless isn't the same thing as peaceful. You haven't got the choice then, have you?
Mm.
So we all want peace. We want everyone wants to be peaceful, but everyone's got to be dangerous and choose peace. Otherwise, we're just a bunch of pussies.
Man, and it gives you so much more than just a skill set as well. It gives you a good mindset of discipline as well, like showing up, getting your ass fucking handed to you the whole time.
Exactly. And even if you don't make it to black belt or whatever, you're practicing something physical. You're with the boys. It's a community. And I understand that it's not for everyone. Not everyone does enjoy violence. Like, you've got, you know, your men that are slightly more feminine for whatever reason, or that is generally wouldn't enjoy it. And that is also okay. They just need to find then a little community that understands that they're a liability and is okay with looking after you.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. I've got mates that don't train, and I don't think any less of them. It's just, I understand and I'm okay with being the guy that can protect them if it goes wrong.
Yeah,
100%. Same with women, obviously. You can't just force it down everyone's throats. But I still encourage, even if you don't enjoy it, I still encourage you to give it a go and learn something. Because again, main point is, it is your responsibility to be safe.
Yeah, and if you never experience getting mugged or fucking getting bashed or in a pub fight or whatever, like, in a life, like, that's fucking pretty good, to be honest. Like, if you skip all of it, yeah, like, pretty fucking good. Like, I've had my fair share being teenagers and young fucking 20s as well. And that really woke me up to thinking, fuck, well, how many times do I have to get punched in the head to fucking realize, okay, I need to fucking learn how to do something.
I have noticed that as I get older, I have less pub fights. Like, as a youngster, that's all I did. It was embarrassing. It's embarrassing to talk about how much of a fuckwit I was. But even now, I definitely never seek violence in public settings, but sometimes it does just find me. Like, just your presence somewhere, like me sitting there with the wife beater, fucked up ears with a fucking beer at a pub, has just invited a dude to come up before and be like, what's your fucking problem, man? And it's just like, what? Like, wow, you know? So in that instance, you just, obviously you can fuck him up, you just walk away or something. But like, there's a responsibility that comes with it. People, there are still those guys that want to prove them to themselves that they're badasses, and they're gonna come and pick out the toughest looking guy in the room just because, you know? And that's, again, your job to be safe. Mm. So if you are prepared, then you can deal with that.
Yeah, some people are just so fucking weird, man. Like,
yeah,
I remember
weird.
I was at like a fucking, my mate was ordering from fucking HJ's in the city, like this was a couple of years back. And I knew how to handle myself after doing like Paul's training, but also training at Scrappy's as well. And this fucking drunk like dickhead just comes over and he was in no shape to fucking do anything. Like this guy was overweight, on drugs, and I'm like, what the fuck? And he comes over, he starts stuff. But we were just like, nah, man, we're all good, man. Like, and it was just like, but if I wasn't assured in myself, I would have been fucking panicking. I probably would have made a mistake.
Or you fire up back.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
To fucking, and it was just crazy. And then most recent one when I was living in Vic Park was a guy who was skitzing out on meth, fucking tries to come into my garage and tries to fucking, he thought I was part of the bikies and trying to sell him meth or some shit. And I was like, just going through my drills in my head of like how I'm going to do things. So funny how fucking, I had a bow and arrow, fucking, it's around here somewhere. Fucking, the first thing I think of is like, okay, what's the most closest weapon I could get? And bow and arrow was the first thing that came to mind, but I was like, that's not gonna work.
That's lethal as well. Yeah. Do you have a compound bow?
No, just some shitty fucking bow, bro. But like, it was fucking funny because COVID happened, and then I got wind that you could just go buy a fucking bow and arrow down the road at like a fishing store. And I was like, oh fuck yeah, I guess I can do something in the park. Fucking, so I go to the local park. I'm a fucking dickhead, by the way. Start shooting this bow and arrow, and I start getting fucking all these cops showing up. And they fucking,
yeah, park, bro.
And then they show up to my house and they're like, yeah, bro, we had fucking like four patrols coming over because they obviously sourced out where I lived. And they fucking knock on my door like, hey, bro, like we found like animal remains at that park and we heard that you were fucking sighted there with bow and arrow. And I'm like, I thought this was all good, bro. I was like, you could buy it from the counter, man. I was like, what else am I supposed to do? But anyway, long story short, I'm a fucking idiot. I should have fucking researched before. So ever since then, I haven't fucking gone out.
Archery is good fun, but I've got a compound bow. I've gone out hunting with it, and it's wicked. But yeah,
shit.
Just go out into the bush somewhere and set up a target, and you fire off. On my old house.
Don't go to a local playground park.
No, wouldn't go there. Or in your back. I don't know how long your block is here, but my old block was 890 square meters from the garage, like, or from the driveway down the side driveway to the back was like 50 meters, and I set up a little range in my house, and that's private as. So
yeah, no shit. Where do you go hunting, man? Like, is it just like, do you go south, north, or east, or?
You're supposed to have a contact with a property and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So we're working on getting that. I generally just go for a walk around and we've seen pigs and plenty of kangaroos. It's legal to shoot kangaroos.
It's legal.
No, illegal to shoot kangaroos. Yeah. Just in national park. I haven't hunted there, but we've gone for, like, if we were hunting, like practice, you know, like, again, practice, it's legal to hunt there, but you can just go there and practice the tracking skills. And we've been within range of pigs, just Matt and Dale, along the Bimmerman track, like down 45 minutes away, you know?
I'm definitely fucking keen, man. My mate's just got all his licenses for guns and stuff. But yeah, it sounds like it's similar kind of hoops you have to jump through, or you have to know someone with property to then have permission or whatever.
Yeah, it's annoying.
But man, yeah, so that makes sense, dude. So in terms of like, how can people learn more about you and what you do, bro? And like, obviously, because you run strength and conditioning and you do privates as well and online, man. So walk us through, man. What are you currently offering at the moment, man?
At the moment, in person is my preference, only because of what I've said. In order to get the most out of how I train, I've got to work with you, with your breath, and teach you all the basics of kettlebells. And if you've got experience with other lifting, then it definitely does help. But there's nuances to using kettlebells specifically. I've got a gym set up in a garage at the moment with the intention of opening an actual gym. We're going to teach grappling, MMA, kettlebell strength, and all in one big system. I've got an online portal or an app, so to speak, but that's generally reserved just for those that I know can train already. So that, like I said, the guys I've got in the army at the moment training for special forces, they want to use my programming, which I was surprised and humbled by. And I deliver it that way for them.
Yeah, for those boys, yeah.
And
your gym's South River in Perth, right?
Huntingdale.
Huntingdale, oh, perfect. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and I'd like to open up when I manage to open up in the same area, Mannington, Gosnells area. There's no competition there when it comes to martial arts or grappling.
Mm.
But it's looking like some opportunity. I've got one in O'Connor potentially to open up this year, which isn't that close to where I live, but and around the corner is Brabos.
You're right.
So, but that's okay. Let's.
Yeah, the only gym down that way is Foxy's, which is boxing. I don't know any grappling down there, bro. Mm. What MMA?
Where?
Huntingdale, Gosling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There is one in Canning Vale, but I don't think it's going to be very, very competitive. That's all.
Southern River one.
Yeah, Empty Jacket, I think.
Oh no, I don't know that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's so funny. All right, man. So where can people find you, man? What's the best point of contact for yourself, dude, if they want to learn more?
Iron.octopusstrength on Instagram. That's pretty much the extent of my marketing. I haven't got a website yet. Working on it.
Definitely follow Iron Octopus Strength Conditioning on Instagram. I follow it and I fucking love it, man. Just out of curiosity, Octopus is grappling?
Yeah,
Or do you just love octopus?
No, I don't. It was. I needed to pull the starting something. Like, I was talking about it for ages. Like, when I first got out of the army, I did a few other jobs here and there. I did some more contracting to the army, and I'm still a reservist. But I needed to pull the trigger. I need to fucking find a name. And I was looking up, there was a kettlebell gym in America called Iron Monkey. And I thought that was really cool. Like, Iron Monkey, because monkeys move cool. I can't steal that one because it's already taken. And I had been called an octopus before when I wrestled. It's like wrestling an octopus, you fucking weird cunt. And I'm like, oh yeah. So I just like got to pull the trigger on the name, Iron Octopus it is, and that's just how it's going to be. So
yeah, fuck yeah, just pulled the trigger. And if anyone's listening to this now before the 4th of March, you're fighting at Eternal as well?
No, it's Beatdown Promotions.
Oh, Beatdown Promotions.
Damien Brown's promotion. He's an ex-UFC fighter from Australia. He's got his own promotion in Brisbane. And that's my MMA debut, 4th of March.
Yeah, fucking right. Nice, man. So if anyone's listening to this and they're interested in watch, make sure to tune in. But mate, Alex, it was a legend, bro. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.